This is Bronco Game Night. You've listened to the game. Now it's your turn to talk about it. Call 208-336-3700 to get in line now. Bronco Game Night is brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle. They measure success 1 foot at a time. It's time to talk about Boise State football. Now joined by Chris Lewis and Mike Prater, here's your host, Rick Worthington, on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KBOI.
I won't call it the best win ever, but a win is a win. When you walk away with a 24-14 victory over Wyoming on your home, look, I'm only going to say Boise State hasn't played terrific at home up until this point. There were times tonight where I said, Boise State looks pretty good. But again, 24-14 win for Boise State. Rick Worthington here along with Mike Prater, Chris Lewis. Gentlemen, Boise State gets a victory tonight. Your thoughts?
Well, A, importance of this game. The importance of it, Wyoming, they're unbeaten. Chance to go to 3-0, or they would go 3-0, and now you're basically a game and a half back. The fact that you won a Mountain Division game in workmanlike fashion. Defense continues to be the story for this team, no matter what the threat is that they have against them. Josh Allen's first-round draft grade, Rashad Penny and Heisman hype, Luke Falk in the greatest show on not turf for Washington State, whatever they play. I guess it's some kind of turf. But whatever the challenge is, this defense goes to meet it. I think the glamour story will be the 24 points and the 21 of them in the second half. But this game was there for the taking for the offense to get it together because Boise State's defense continues to be, I don't know, like, Brader, you're the historical guy. Where, I mean, Is this reaching historical context for Boise State defensively?
They've had a couple defenses like this in the past. You know, maybe historically in terms of the offense, not that the offense is bad, but it's just not Boise State standard. And, you know, I go back to maybe Dirk Cutter's first season. The first half of the year, he was averaging 10, 12 points a game. It went down to North Texas and got beat 12-6, something like that.
Yeah.
The next week he came back, told Bart Hendricks he was going to open up the offense. They scored 50, 60 points. And the Boise State offense, as we know it, was born.
Let it go, Bart.
I think tonight, the takeaway for me tonight was that was an unbelievable second half, not only with the players and the execution, the defense, the special teams. I liked what the coaches did. I think the coaches who are continuously tinkering with this football team finally found out the right formula for this offense in terms of going back and forth with Rippon and going back and forth with Cozart. I'm on board with Cozart starting from here on out. I think Rippon should play. I think they kind of give the yin and yang thing. But there's no doubt that Cozart is the better, more efficient engineer of this offense. And I don't think you can dispute that anymore. Sorry, Chris.
For
a month, I've been in denial. But as the coaches have tweaked, my only concern is, are they going to over-tweak or keep tinkering or do something that kind of takes us back out of that rhythm?
Identity is important. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Game Night is presented by Idaho Foot and Ankle, Treasure Valley's premier foot and ankle center. Idaho Foot and Ankle, with three locations to serve you in Boise, Meridian, and on the Boulevard in Napa. Idaho Foot and Ankle measures success 1 foot at a time. And it's your opportunity to chime in on Bronco Game Night. We love hearing from you guys, and now's the chance. Call us on the Domino's Fresh Never Frozen hotline, 208-336-3700, or at 1-800-529-5264. We realize it's 12:30 at night. We are going to have an opportunity to hear from Coach Harsin a little bit later. He is in the middle of his press conference right now, so we'll hear from the coach a little bit later. We do need to talk about identity, though, as we dive into the offense. They only put 24 points on the board, but they did have a very good second half. Identity is important to me because I think, especially for a head coach, sometimes you beat your head up against the wall and you just keep coming to it. I want Brett Rippon to throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, and that's our offense, and that's what we're going to do because I said at the beginning of this year, we've got this great quarterback, and he's going to lead us down the field. It just hasn't happened yet. It's not materialized, and I think they're starting to figure out their identity is not what they thought they were coming into the season. That's at least my take in looking at this team from the outside looking in. This is not the same Brett Rippon that we've seen in years past. And I don't know if it has to do with Josh Allen. And I don't know if it has to do with personnel or blocking. I don't know. But It's not the same team and not the same Brett we've seen in years past.
And it's fine. You have another option right now. And that's the thing. You just can't go – you can't have a Virginia game from here going forward where – like the frustrating thing about the Virginia game is I thought I saw a lot of these trends before that game, mm-hmm. and they just refused to adapt to those trends until they got slapped in the face. And now, okay, once you lose by like 28 points – I know it was that at some point. That probably wasn't the final score. That's when you change. And the frustrating thing is maybe you could have saved the loss on the schedule. But, you know, if you have Montel going and as Mike – said at the beginning of the show, I think he's the more efficient guy, and if Rippon's going, you can work him in too, but the foundation of Boise State's offense going forward has to focus around Cozart's abilities, not have a game like Virginia where he gets two snaps in the first. That should never, we should have graduated. This game is evidence of the fact that we have graduated beyond the Cozart is a sprinkle and Rippon being the main ice cream, the main custard. I don't know, this analogy is going crazy.
Yeah,
this
let's have it, man. Come on.
I'm hungry for some dessert. But, yeah, right now the foundation should be centered around number three.
Are you on board?
I don't think you can dispute that anymore. I just don't see how you can dispute that anymore. Based on what we saw last week, based on what we saw in the second half tonight, there's no doubt about it to me. I think if there's one problem with this coaching staff, and I know most of you fans are probably rolling your eyes and saying there's plenty. I don't see it that way. I think the one biggest issue with this staff right now, and Brian Harsin, loyalty. Loyalty. Mm-hmm. He is showing loyalty to he started off the season by showing loyalty to Ryan Wolpen because Ryan Wolpen had a great camp, because Ryan Wolpen worked hard, because Ryan Wolpen did this, and he still used Ryan Wolpen in a critical situation tonight that if this game was on the line, why isn't Madison in there? Mm-hmm. It's hard to bench your two-time all-conference quarterback, mm-hmm. especially when he's coming back next year. Rippon and Zach Kill and Brian Harsin have a relationship together. He's showing loyalty. But I think he's got to start. He's starting to finally figure it out. Hopefully, he looks himself in the mirror and says, "I got to go with Cozart from here on out."
So the next question, as far as offense goes, and guys, I'll let you be the expert on this. I have an opinion on two quarterback systems. Can these quarterbacks coexist like they did tonight? Can they do that for the rest of the year? We've got some big games coming up, and next week when you roll out to Utah State on a Saturday night, can you continue to use Brett and Montel the same way you did this evening?
If Brett's working, you use him at times where you can. But like, we're at the point where if he's not going well, and in this game, I think he was. He made a couple of throws, that one nice one in a row. I think this was a fine Rippon game for what he can do with the weapons that are around him, which aren't Rippon weapons of the past. But when it doesn't work, if Rippon's off, then you just don't use him and stick with Cozart for more drives instead of just a couple of plays here and there. So it's a two-quarterback system if both are going well. But if one of them isn't, and at this point, like Cozart, has he had a bad game at yet? No. He had one bad throw this year.
The only thing
he's never had a bad game.
The only thing I'll say about that.
Okay, go ahead.
Just in terms of that Washington State, the end of the Washington State game is the only criticism I give for Cozart.
Yeah, so only
so
mistake he's made.
And that's it.
Only interception. He hasn't fumbled. He's been really good on third downs. He's running efficiently. So, yeah, if Rippon's going like he was today, mm-hmm. it's a two-quarterback system. If he's struggling, you don't have to use him. That's how it should go.
I think it's a slippery slope to have to use two, but right now, after seven games, which to me is enough sample size, that's a phrase that Chris has been using all year, and he's 100% right. There's enough sample size right now that tells me that, you know, you've got to go with Cozart because Rippon's not getting the job done. So the only problem is, I don't know if it's going to work all season. I think it's a slippery slope. There was a couple of instances tonight. At one point, Rippon started running onto the field. Cozart was in there in the first half when they were going back and forth. Rippon ran on the field for 5 yards and thought he was coming back in and turned around and went back out. In the second half, I saw them both standing on the sideline together, and they looked at each other and almost like shrugged their shoulders and lifted up their arms like, who's going in now? I think there's some curiosity and some confusion about who's playing when, where, why, and how as they try to tinker on the fly.
The old saying is, if you've got two quarterbacks, you haven't got any. I don't know that that's appropriate here for Boise State, because I think Montel Cozart gives you more options, especially when you get across midfield. I think that's when we started seeing Cozart come in for the most part. Is once you get past that midfield marker, now we're in Cozart territory where we need to continue to move the chains. We need to get in that field goal territory. But he has been most effective in the play action, in the rolling pocket, an opportunity to get that young man to use his legs. But here's the thing. He hasn't forced throws on guys. He's okay with using his legs and picking up 3-4 yards at a time. It's an awful lot like an extension of your running game. And I like the way it works. Mm-hmm. But when you need a big throw, and Brett made a really big throw tonight. I think the throw that we talked about to Rowe was a gun that he was shooting that thing out of, man. That was a great throw.
What Boise State's offense came up with tonight in the second half, essentially, it wasn't so much crossing the 50. I think once they got to about the 30, that's when Cozart would come in. Cozart is now officially your red zone quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what he did tonight. So if he can move the ball more efficiently than anybody else from the 30 to the goal line, why can't he do it from the other goal line to the 30?
He has done it.
Yeah, he has done it. So I just think it's obvious at this point, especially based on the second half last week and based on what we saw tonight, that he moves the football. He moves the football at a fairly efficient pace. He may make mistakes, although he's been very limited there. He's not going to be able to throw the ball 75 yards on the field, but I don't see anybody else doing that. This team does not have explosive plays. They still haven't had a play over 50 yards this season. That's not who they are. It's time for Cozart to be the starting quarterback.
Well, there is one other thing that we should consider, which is Montel Cozart is not coming back next season, and Brett Rypien is. And I don't think you want to break your quarterback for next season either. Which has got to be it's a coaching thing, and I know we're going to get into that. And I have a feeling that Coach Harsin will probably get an opportunity to talk about that tonight. So my question to you folks, you need to call in on this. Bronco Game Night, your calls always welcome on the Domino's Fresh Never Frozen Hotline, 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-5264. Who do you want back there with the game on the line? Do you want the guy that for the last 2 years has been the best quarterback in the Mountain West? Or do you want the new guy, the senior? Do you want Montel Cozart and the opportunity to run, pass? Do you want that athleticism on the field or the guy that's been proven to do the job? Just want to hear from you tonight. Your opportunity to call in right now. Also going to talk about turnovers tonight. The defense stepped up in a very big way once again. More on that. Bronco Game Night continues after a 24-14 win for Boise State. We're back after this.
Hi, Bronco fans.
Cozart pushing the pile, and he's in for the touchdown. And Boise State surges into the lead, 9-7 on the 4-yard run by Cozart.
And a 24-14 win. It's Bronco Game Night. Glad you're hanging out with us, Rick Worthington, along with Mike Prater and Chris Lewis. Line is open for you right now, the Domino's Fresh Never Frozen Hotline at 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-5264. The Paul J. Play of the Game coming up a little bit later, and we will get an opportunity to hear from Coach Harsin tonight. First and foremost, though, we got to talk about defense. Defense has stepped up big once again tonight, allowing only 14 points and really doing a very efficient job of holding Wyoming with that just that one score in the second half. Otherwise, I thought Boise State's defense, Mike, was really, really dominant tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been kind of doing exactly what they've been doing all season. It certainly makes you wonder what happened in that Virginia game.
They see that we didn't know about, right?
I mean, obviously, Virginia's turning out to be a good football team. I think they became bowl eligible. Well, no, they lost today, didn't they? So I'm not sure if they're bowl eligible. But, yeah, the defense was solid. A couple of picks. Special teams were solid. Avery Williams is all over the place still. They're doing nice jobs of getting good field position, which is an issue early on in the season. So I think they can depend on these two facets, the special teams and the defense moving forward. But I also think moving forward, the two best teams are still on their schedule, Fresno State and Colorado State.
Yeah, see, Fresno State, man, what's going on in that direction and how they all of a sudden got good?
Yeah.
Wyoming's offense isn't that good. Like, that's the one thing that you have to kind of put into context. While they have Josh Allen, this is a team that's at the bottom of the Mountain West in total yards, is at the bottom in rushing. It's like third from the bottom when it comes to passing yards. They don't really do anything consistently. The one thing that would scare you, of course, going into a game against Josh Allen is that chance that he breaks containment, he rolls out, and he finds an open guy somehow down the field after 13 seconds of running around, and he finds him down the field. But that just didn't happen, at least not consistently enough. So the defense passed another test. I don't know what happened in Virginia. I think that's the one thing you have to go back and look at. What in the world happened in that game? Because if you erase that, I'd be interested to see what the numbers are for this defense on like yards per play, total yards. What would the average per game? What would it look like if that Virginia game never happened?
That's a great question.
Statistically, they'd be top 10 in the country. Okay, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you could go back and do the math, but they would be somewhere there with if you took those numbers out. They're close to that anyway. So
this I know
is
I'm not doing any equations tonight, man. No. So let's hold off on that.
Dominating defense, but I do agree with Chris. One, I'm not even close to the smartest football guy in the world, but there's nothing that I saw tonight or nothing that I've seen from Josh Allen this season that tells me he's a top-round draft pick in the NFL. I know he's got a body, and I didn't really see an NFL arm that really blew me away tonight. I don't see any NFL intangibles that blew me away. He's got absolutely zero talent around him. That's the problem.
Yeah.
He's the best running back on that team. He's the best running – he might be the best blocker. He might be the best everything on that team. It's kind of a microcosm of what Boise State's offense is going through, but – a good quarterback that's get that much hype is supposed to be able to overcome that, and he didn't even come close tonight.
Now, at the end of last year, I said, Josh Allen's not a bad quarterback.
It's okay.
And give him his due after last year's game against Boise State. He drove with that team and took them to a victory.
Yes.
There were times, I think, when we all said Boise State handed that game over, and I think rightly so, people can make that argument. But they got put in that position because Josh Allen played really, really well in that game. But I didn't see what the scouts were seeing. People get blown away by 6'5" frame. People get blown away by he can throw 70 yards on the fly. People get blown away by just those types of things. I mean, Al Davis used to always say, I'm taking the fastest guy in the draft. I don't care who he is and what he can do. If he can't catch, I don't care. But if he's fast, I want that guy. And I think Josh Allen has some of those measurables that you really like to see. But his problem is this. As big or as fast as he might be, as strong as that arm is, it's no good if you don't make good decisions. And I saw Josh Allen a couple of times tonight where he wasn't making good decisions, but he got by because he has some talent. And he does have talent. I don't know if it's first-round talent, but he has NFL-caliber talent. So I guess when you look at Josh Allen, I see some things that are really, really good, but they're not getting the most out of him right now because I think he's getting by because he has talent, not because he's making good decisions, good plays.
He has trash around him. I mean, that's just how it is. This is trash, garbage, whatever you want to call it. Right. That's what he's working with. Now, that being said, at a certain point, production has to matter in the draft process.
Well, you didn't see much production.
But
tonight.
There was also last year he completed, less than 60% of his passes. Right. He had a high interception total to a low touchdown total. Like, there were signs last year that he wasn't productive. And if you're not productive this year, like, what am I supposed to – I mean, I could find somebody on the street who's 6'5 and can run and can throw it far. But if you haven't produced on the football field, I'm supposed to think that you could be a first-round pick. Like, that's the problem with the draft process is that somebody like Mitchell Trubisky can be picked ahead of Deshaun Watson. Like, that's the problem of the draft process,
right,
where Mitchell Trubisky had one season as a starter where he really didn't produce much. He showed up, he's big, he can kind of move, and he has a strong arm, and you took him over a guy who does have decent size in Deshaun Watson and produced at, Heisman Trophy winning type levels?
Yeah.
So, like, that's the problem with the draft, that all you have to do is show up looking the part, you look like a quarterback, and all of a sudden you leapfrog up the draft board. At a certain point, to me, production has to matter. At that position, especially.
You made an analogy earlier tonight. We were talking at the football game, and you said Josh Allen reminds you somewhat of Ben Roethlisberger in terms of big frame, strong arm, moves really, really well in the pocket and gives himself a little bit more times to make plays. What he doesn't do well, though, just mechanically speaking, Mike, he doesn't throw off his front foot. He likes to throw off that back foot all the dang time. He threw a touchdown pass off his back foot across the field today, And I said to Chris, they're going to go back and they're going to look at the tape, and coach is going to say, hey, nice job throwing a touchdown pass there. And then dork slap him as hard as he can, like, don't ever do it again.
I saw some of the same stuff. As a matter of fact, he looked like Kellen Moore did kind of early in his career. Kellen Moore threw a lot of footballs off the back of his
feet
early in his career until he got it figured out. And Josh Allen doesn't have that figured out, because I saw some sloppy inconsistencies there. So he was a much better runner than I thought. I'll give him credit for that. I know he was running for his life, and sometimes they put him in situations where they wanted him to run because he was the best guy, and he did a nice job. So I think he's a pretty tough kid, but he doesn't strike me. I'd be shocked if he went in the first round. I mean, he'll get an NFL shot. He'll get drafted high. I'd be shocked if he went in the first round.
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
There are going to be guys out there that are going to look at the frame and the arm strength. They're going to say, I can work with that, you know?
Yeah, that's
there are
the
a
reason.
Lot of guys I out guess. There that have been great big dudes. Ryan Mallett.
Paxton Lynch was drafted in the first round.
There's a lot of guys out there that have the size and the arm. And look, I'm going to tell you right now, in the NFL, if you can't throw the out, you can't play in the NFL. It doesn't matter how smart you are. If you can't throw the out, you're done in the NFL today. But there are guys that can make that throw. There are guys that can throw it 70 yards down the field like Jamarcus Russell. But they got a 2-cent head. I don't think he's that guy.
I think
there's talent there. You can work with that, whether or not it'll translate to the NFL. And I know we started talking defense here, and the defense did a really fine job. So maybe we could work back to that. Defensively, Mike, what's working for this team? Because they were able to get some turnovers, and I like that.
Yeah, I think DeAndre Pierce flies around to the ball and creates turnovers. Leighton Vander Esch is still just an absolute beast out there. He's flying. I don't care if he starts off 50 yards from the ball. He always ends up right around it. I love the way that guy – just they're athletic, they're active, they move around. There's a pretty good scheme. They get pressure on the quarterback. I think they do all facets of exactly what you want a defense to do. So I like this defense, and I think it's getting better every single game, and Boise State will win because of its defense.
Curtis Weaver had 2 sacks in this game. Curtis Weaver is turning into a problem for other teams. Like he was at back-to-back weeks with multiple sacks. If he – develops and improves, this dude's what, a redshirt freshman? Like, look out for Curtis Weaver down the line. And Leighton Vander Esch is just really good. And he missed a sack on Josh Allen. Like, yeah, I don't know how in the world.
That was terrific.
Didn't bring him down. It goes to show you the strength that Allen does have. But Leighton Vander Esch just doesn't miss tackles. And I know Boise State's trying to come up with like an All-American type campaign to get him national recognition. And if he keeps having games like that, perhaps he's going to get that national recognition.
Vander Esch led the team in tackles once again tonight with 11.
And Frazier has 3 sacks in the last 2 games, so he's coming on too. If they can get that's bonus time for me, as long as you ask me. If they can get that kind of production out of him, that's fantastic.
I think the most impressive part of the defensive effort tonight for me was at the end of that first half when Wyoming had field position. They were right around midfield, and there was an opportunity with a minute left and some timeouts that they could get into field goal range, get that extra, you know, make it a 2-score game. And the defense was on Josh Allen on every single play from that point and ultimately forced them to, you know, just go ahead and take it and go into the locker room, smarten their pride a little bit.
I still think if this defense knows what the offense is going to do, like in a situation like that, you know they're going to try to throw the ball down the field. If this defense knows San Diego State is going to run the ball, Washington State wants to throw all these short passes. If they know what's coming, this defense, I don't think they're like that fast. Like, I look at these players and it's like, well, where's the speed? How do they cover so much ground? But they do it.
Yeah. Coach Harsin had quite a few things to say following tonight's game. What was different? What's the story with Cozart? How are we using him? More than that, the Paul J. Play of the Game is also coming up here a little bit later, but Coach Harsin is next. We'll talk coaching when we come back on Bronco Game Night.
You're listening to Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KBOI.
Sorry, throws a dart. Wilson caught it at the 15 and sprints into the end zone. And the Broncos have a 2-score lead. The score goes for 24 yards. Cozart to Wilson. And with 8:35 left, the Broncos are up 23-14.
We might be hearing more about that a little bit later. Paul J. Play of the Game is coming up here in a bit. Your opportunity to get yourself a gift card from Lock, Stock, and Barrel on Monday morning. We'll tell you more about that here in a few. We're going to talk a little coaching here, and we'll get a little coach speak. Coach Harsin had an opportunity to speak following the game tonight. You know, usually he'll come in and he'll talk with Bob a little bit, and they'll have a little back and forth. And then he'll go and he'll sit down with the rest of the area media and answer questions for about a period of 10, 15 minutes and kind of roll through the game a little bit. And there are a few interesting things that came out of the press conference that we want to bring to you on that. Before we get to that, though, let's talk a little bit about, as far as the coaching is concerned for Boise State right now, I think people are starting to calm down a little bit. There were some people that were really upset following the Washington State game, and that was a loss that smarted. Nobody's going to say it didn't. The loss to Virginia was a loss that smarted, and nobody's going to tell you it didn't. But there were people that were screaming bloody murder following that Virginia game, and I think they've kind of backed off the ledge a little bit, if I can.
Yeah, I have one question for both of you guys on that, because I am one to point back to the Virginia loss frustrated, because I look at what this season could have been if you would have beaten Virginia. You're looking at a team that would be, what, now 6-1?
Yes.
After seven games?
Yes.
You'd be probably a favorite for the New Year's Six, because if your only loss is to Washington State and you had that game in control — I know game control is one of the things that they love to look at — you might be on the fringe of the rankings, if not ranked. But are you guys the type of people who think that Boise State has spurred this three-game winning streak because they lost to Virginia? Is like their correlation, they're playing better now because of the loss to Virginia, that if they would have beaten Virginia, they would not have looked sharp in the next three games?
I'll let you tackle that, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not going to buy that. I mean, that's a decent theory to talk about. And maybe it could evolve into something truth, but I think it's more along the lines of the competition. I mean, BYU was terrible. San Diego State's a wrinkle, but they proved tonight that they're certainly not the best team in this conference. Right now, they're not even the third best team in this conference. And then we saw what Wyoming brought to the table tonight. So I think the offensive tinkering, the fact that the defense is more stabilized now, and maybe there was a wake-up call for the defense, if anything else, I'll give you that. But I think it's a combination of things. I think the coaching staff has coached its butt off the last 3 weeks.
I agree. Here's my problem with Boise State in those particular losses, the only two losses we have this year. They played really, really well at Washington State. They played well enough to win that game. And I think if you win that game, even if you smarted up to Virginia, even if you stunk it like you did, people wouldn't be as upset. But you lost two in a row, a game that you should have won, and then you came back and you followed it up with a game where you weren't competitive. In the second half of that game, there were dudes that are former Boise State players that came to us and said they laid down, they gave up, and that's not acceptable, and really called people out. And then I think you're right. I think there was a wake-up call for those coaches, and they said, hey, we've got some real issues that we better start diving into. Unfortunately, they had a couple of weeks to figure that out and went and got the win at BYU, and then the game the last week was a real big game, a huge road victory for them. And you followed up with a nice win and a little revenge against Wyoming that they were looking for as well. There's been some motivation there. So do I feel like Boise State is playing as well as they can? No, I don't. But I think they're getting there. But I think that comes back to identity, and do you know who you are yet? I think teams, the sooner you figure that out, the better off you are. Now, I'll give you an example. When you've got a team like Alabama that has the ability to be a bruiser or a throwing football team or a defensive juggernaut, it's real easy to find identity. You can do that in any way you want to play. But in teams like Boise State, where maybe you have some pretty decent talent, but they're scattered around and where there just isn't any continuity to it. My point is this. Are you a running team? Are you a passing team? Are you a defensive juggernaut? What is your identity? Teams that figure out that early in the season can start to play to their strengths, and they do better later in the year because they know who they are. And I don't think Boise State's really figured out until now who we are. What are we good at? What can we do? When we're in third and one, are we a pass-first team, or are we going to kick your butt and run it down your throat team? When you find identity, you tend to play better. And I don't think the coaches, and I don't think us as fans, have really figured that out yet. And that's my problem with Boise State.
Well, I think, they're getting closer. And as we said at the top of the show, like Montel Cozart having the short yardage plays, the third and ones, third and twos, the goal line, I think that's part of establishing an identity of being able to run the football and power running team on third downs. And On a related question to identity and who you are at this point, you said Boise State probably hasn't reached their ceiling, right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I would say that, yes.
My question is, what do you think the 2017 Boise State ceiling is in terms of what it looks like on the field? Like, if Boise State is clicking on all cylinders, what does it look like? Like, is it Madison getting 5 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry on the ground? Because they're not getting big runs. So, like, that's not it. Is it, like, in the past I could say, well, it's spread it out. You have Anderson running deep go routes, and they're clicking, and Spurbeck getting chunks 30 yards at a time, yeah. And while Wilson's, like, that's what it looks like when it's all clicking, a la that game against New Mexico last year. That was Boise State's ceiling. What is the ceiling? What does the ceiling look like to you?
I think it's the second half of what we saw tonight, only getting better all the time. I still don't think that Boise State's coaches are going to have enough. I shouldn't say courage, but I don't think they're going to bench Rippon for Cozard.
I don't see that happening.
If Rippon's working, you can sprinkle him in. Sure, use him, but you found the foundation.
I think the formula they had in the second half tonight, they need to apply that to every single minute of every single game moving forward.
Okay.
And starting in the first half, with that kind of domination, with that kind of determination, and that kind of efficiency running the ball.
Before we go any further, we need to get legal here, folks. So we'll take a quick legal ID, and we'll be right back. We're going to talk more with Coach Harsin in just a moment. You're listening to Bronco Game Night.
From the Data Tell Studio, this is Sports Radio 93.1 FM, KTIK New Plymouth Boise, 1350 AM KTIK Nampa Boise, The Ticket, Accumulus Station.
Game Night, 24-14 is a Boise State victory tonight over Wyoming. We could talk about what the Broncos are or what they aren't. What really matters is what the head coach thinks. So, what did Coach Harsin think about his team tonight? Here's what he had to say in the postgame presser.
We'll win it. Yeah, we did. Congratulations to our team. Those guys came out there. They fought hard. It was a physical game. We knew that. Wyoming is always tough to play against. We found that out last year. We were able to go down there. I thought we played a physical game last year. And, we lost some battles. And when you play against a team like Wyoming, you play against a quarterback like Josh Allen, you play against the defense in the way they play. I was really proud of our guys tonight. That was going to be a major challenge. We knew that. We knew it was going to be some ebbs and flows in the game, and it certainly was. And the guys came out there ready to play. So, just one, a credit to our guys and our coaches. I thought from Sunday, the sense of urgency from the coaches and the players and them working together and putting together the plan, that's where the game was won throughout the week. And we really went out there and really played like we practiced. I thought we had a great week of practice. And, so our coaches, players, those guys working together, it showed up tonight. And it wasn't perfect by any means, and they kept battling. I thought the second half we came out there, and it was good to see the offense put together a drive. We opened up. We were able to score. I know it was a lot of plays. I think it was 18 plays in there. We took some time off the clock, and we punched it in. And then we finished the game with an interception. I believe we won the field position battle tonight. I don't know what the number is yet. But overall, what we wanted to accomplish, we did.
That's Coach Brian Harsin following tonight's 24-14 win over Wyoming. The question was, what did you think of the team tonight? Kind of got a roundabout answer there as he talked about all kinds of things, but I'm not sure he ever really said, I thought we played great tonight. I think he did say that we didn't play awful, but we haven't played our best yet, I think is what I heard.
And I think that's fair. This football team still needs to grow every single week. Like I said, I think the two – I don't care if we've played Washington State or Virginia or Troy. The two toughest teams on the schedule are still ahead of Boise State right now in terms of Fresno State and Colorado State, so they have to get better. I don't see – I mean, if they put together two halves like they did in the second half tonight, they'll compete with Fresno State and they'll compete with Colorado State. But if they play a half a game, there's not a chance.
Just looking at it, an 18-play, 71-yard drive.
That was really awesome tonight.
Like, that's something that you can focus on. Woo! And just play that back. Was it – I'm trying to remember the opponent, but it was the Fiesta Bowl season where Boise State had a similar drive to this, and I kind of thought it was like a leapfrog to their season. I can look back and try to get the definitive answer for you. But 18 plays, 71-yard drive, where you mix and match the quarterbacks throughout, Rippon in, Cozart in, Madison in. I don't know if Wolpin ever got in on that specific drive. Maybe he did. He did. You say he got a carry on that
one
drive?
One carry, 2 yards.
Yeah, that was coaching brilliance. Like that was exactly, if you wanted to put on a poster, how can a two-quarterback system work, what you do is you chart that drive. And maybe, if anything, that is a foundation for what Boise State can strive for down the line. We're used to quick strike. Like, yeah. We're used to big plays. We're used to explosiveness. 18-play, 71-yard drive is the opposite of explosive. It's a 10-minute drive. Yeah. It took up most of the third quarter. But they got it in the end zone. And they did a lot of things right there. Converted a lot of third downs in different ways. So I would go back to that drive and almost analyze that from a play-by-play basis and kind of use that as the foundation moving forward.
I know that hurts when you're standing on the other side of the football, Wyoming defense like, what? All right, let's go. We can let them go on third down again. All right, one thing to remember here is Boise State was trailing 7-3 as they went in at half. So the question to Coach Harsin tonight was, what was different in the second half tonight?
Well, I think, one, I thought the offensive staff did a really good job of making adjustments in the second half. There was a few things, and like always, you prepare for one thing. They're showing a couple different things. You're trying to go out there and figure it out as you go, and can we block? Can we get to where the unblocked guy is? And sometimes we did, and sometimes we didn't. And they're going to make plays on the defensive side. But I thought the offensive staff did a great job adjusting. And then our guys really, you know, we felt like if we get to the fourth quarter, we're going to win the game. And so the goal was to get to the fourth quarter. You know, let's go out there and let's put together a really good drive. Let's put ourselves in position to score. And we were able to do that. I didn't know how many plays it was. Somebody said at the end of that, you know, that we had 9 minutes or something that we took off the clock, which is great. And I'm not so much about the time as it is the execution of, you know, 18 plays back-to-back. That's hard to do. And so I was proud of the staff. They did a really good job of making some adjustments. The players obviously went out there and executed and did their part. And then, you know, we were able to get the ball back. I mean, the defense, the special teams, they're executing. They're taking care of their assignments. And the offense was able to kind of build off of that in some field position and go out in there and put some more points on the board.
Coach Harsin talking about that big drive there. The question was, what was different in the second half? Now, let's just lay this out. An 8-play drive is pretty good. Mm-hmm. 8 plays ending on a touchdown, pretty good. 18 plays and paying off with a touchdown is just a butt kicker. So good on you, Boise State, for getting that done tonight.
And their second drive, by the way, was 10 plays.
Yeah.
10 plays and 57 yards and almost 5 minutes of time. So that's back-to-back efficiency right there.
The longest play on that drive was 14 yards from Cozart to Wilson, if I'm looking at this correctly. Yeah, they had a 13-yarder, but outside of that, it's 2, it's 4, it's 4, it's a loss of 5, but then a pass for 14 yards right after that to kind of make up for it. 8 yards, 7 yards. It's death by 1,000 cuts if you've ever seen it.
Yes.
And it worked then, but my question is, that's not really sustainable. Like, if you put yourself in a position to get that many third
downs,
you're
not going to win.
There's not a high percentage chance you're going to convert that many third downs in a row. And sometimes it'll look like the first half. And I want to spring a question, and perhaps the audience who's, you know, maybe driving home from the game could answer this, is this fun? Like, the Boise State, the last couple of games, it's a clear change of what it used to be for Boise State football, high scoring, big plays. When you have to play these late night games at 8:15 that don't end until midnight, and it's cold and it's rainy, like, I enjoy it. I like it. I like it a lot. I like this style. I can rock with a defensive game. But the same fan base that has hopped aboard a train that has a lot of trick plays and big plays, do they want to rock with this?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Is it entertaining enough? Well, probably not for some people.
Definitely not. Probably not. It's definitely not.
Some people are not going to like
it. No, they're frustrated.
I'm with you, though, Chris. I like that kind of football. I like I like 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but not everybody gets that.
No, and Boise State fans for 20 years, ever since I told you about the Dirk Cutter situation in 1998, have been spoiled for 19 football seasons of great offense. There's been some hiccups here and some hiccups there and certainly some losses, but this is the most frustrating this offense has been in 20 years around here, and fans don't like it.
But if it works, like I know Zach Hill had a quote this week that said something along the lines of, I know we're not as fun as we used to be. Like, isn't that strange for an offensive coordinator to have that quote? Like, we're not as fun as we used to be? And, hey, winning is fun. I certainly like that. But I do understand the task of, you know, it's 8:15, it's 40-something degrees, and it's raining, and the fans had to sit through a half where Boise State's longest play was maybe, what, like 15 yards, and they put up 3 points? Now, the defense got them in the game, and the defense is really good, and if you're showing up to watch the defense, yo, you're seeing a great show.
I think if the winning continues, and now they've won 3 straight games, all by double digits, so they're not just getting by, they're double-digiting 3 straight opponents. If the wins keep going, the fans will be just fine.
Yeah, that's really the thing. If Boise State only scores 24 points in a losing effort tonight, people are probably pretty upset.
Yes.
But the winning is a pretty good deodorant, as I always like to remind you guys.
You get more Al Davis quotes.
I get some mileage out of that, don't I?
Al Davis. You love him some Al Davis over there. Rest in
all
peace.
Right. You want to jump in on this? You can call Bronco Game Night. The Domino's Fresh Never Frozen hotline is 208-336-3700 or 1-800-529-5264. Your opportunity to pick up a Lock, Stock, and Barrel gift card on Monday morning revolves around you knowing what the Paul J. play of the game is. We're going to have that for you when we come back on Bronco Game Night.
You're listening to Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KBOI.
Broncos get it done tonight over the Cowboys, 24-14. It's a Boise State victory. It keeps them in the hunt for first place. Game down the line a couple of weeks from now at Colorado State. It's going to be pretty important. I think there's a couple of trap games in there if you look too hard at it. We'll get to that here in a few minutes, though. First, it's time for the Paul J. Play of the Game. It's brought to you by Lock, Stock, and Barrel. It's been voted the best steakhouse 10 years in a row, serving delicious prime rib, mouth-watering steaks, and all-you-can-eat soup and salad bar with every entree. Best dining value in town, Lock, Stock, and Barrel, corner of 11th and Jefferson in downtown Boise. So here's how it works. We're going to play for you the Paul J. Play of the Game. You got to know what it is come 9 o'clock on Monday morning. If you can identify the Paul J. Play of the Game, you're going to have an opportunity to win a gift card, a $50 value from Lock, Stock, and Barrel. So, with that, here is the Paul J. Play of the Game.
The game is in the books. Let's find out what play Paul J. thought was the game changer. Bronco Game Night on 1350 AM, 93.1 FM, KTIK, and 670 KBOI.
Throws a dart. Wilson caught it at the 15 and sprints into the end zone. And the Broncos have a 2-score lead. The score goes for 24 yards. Cozart to Wilson. And with 8:35 left, the Broncos are up 23-14.
And that's it. It's the final touchdown pass of the night. Montel Cozart. Touchdown pass to Cedric Wilson. 24 yards. Made the score 24-14. That was your final score as well. It came with 8 minutes and 35 seconds left in the game. Nice job for Cozart tonight. Hey, once again, you know that play, 9 o'clock Monday morning. You be the correct caller. You identify that play, and you'll win a gift card from Lock, Stock, and Barrel for knowing the Paul J. Play of the game. Guys, that to me looked pretty good. I'm not sure it was my play of the game, though. I thought the Cozart run for the touchdown tonight might have been my favorite play of the night. Here's the thing, though. When you heard Cozart after the game, they said they called that a rushing touchdown instead of a passing touchdown. He's like, dang it. Once again, Rip didn't get a touchdown pass on that. How does that happen? I like to hear that, you know?
Yeah, he's you can kind of tell how he won the team over, and you can kind of see how somebody who's from, you know, Kansas City, transferred from Kansas 1 year here, how he's kind of won over a locker room. And, you know, just somebody who, goes to a lot of the other Boise State sporting events. You know, I go to, you know, call a volleyball and soccer games. I've seen Montel out at the volleyball games with a lot of the receivers and the running backs for Boise State. So, like, he's kind of a people person, and that's kind of important if you're going to come into a situation like this where you only have a year, and he always says the right thing. I did not come here with a chance or knowing I'd be a quarterback. I just wanted a chance. I just wanted to do whatever I could to help the team win.
We'll have an opportunity to give you some minor or major here. It's something we've been doing the last couple of weeks, brought to you by U.S. Registration. Minor or major? We'll give you the topics when we come back. It's Bronco Game Night.
You're listening to Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KBOI.
Ripping in the pocket, throwing it left side long, and a leaping catch by Joke Rowe. Another first down. Rowe with a diving catch inside the 30. He's going to pick up 18. First down.
I love that throw, by the way. Maybe the best throw we've seen from Rippon to this point of the season. 24-14, it's a Boise State victory over the Pokes tonight, talking about Wyoming. In a game that they had to have, a game that keeps them in contention for first place. We've played this game the last couple of weeks. It's brought to you by U.S. Registration. It's called Major or Minor, as opposed to, or in the thought realm of, is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? Minor thing or a major thing?
It's a fun game.
We'll start with that. Tell me, is it a minor or a major thing, Mike? Starting with only scoring 24 points in a victory tonight, is that a minor thing because it's got a victory tied to it, or is that a major thing because it's not sustainable?
Minor, not a problem at all. That's Boise State's offense as we know it right now. As long as they continue to play defense and special teams, I'd like to see it get better. I'd like to see it grow a couple points a game, a field goal game. You know, eventually I'd like to get them to see if they can get up to 30 points a game, but right now, minor.
Chris?
It's a minor problem. You would like the offense to be more consistent or at least more efficient in the first half. It did took them a while to get started, but once they got going with those, you know, 3 second-half touchdown drives, you'll take that. It's just been what it is at this point. They scored 31 against San Diego State, but offense still was a little struggle, and you get a couple of special teams in defense. This is what the offense can do, and if the defense can play complementary football with it, it's a minor problem, not a major one.
I think it's a major problem in terms of, can you score when you're down by more than a touchdown? Can you come back? Because teams that score points are hard to come by. But when you start to look at some of these teams that are down the road, if you fall behind by a touchdown or 10 points, do you have the ability to come back? And I worry about that it could be a major problem down the road.
The top four scorers in the Mountain West Conference are all left on Boise State's schedule.
Oh, wow.
So there you go.
Colorado State at 271 points. Utah State and Air Force are tied at 261 points. And Fresno State at 225. Those are your top four scorers in the Mountain West Conference.
Minor or major? Trap game next week at Utah State. A lot of people are going to look at Colorado now because that's the clear first-place game left on the schedule. If both teams are still undefeated, you're playing for first place and an opportunity to go to the Mountain West Championship game, hypothetically, if you go and you win that game. But you've got to go on the road, and you've got to play a pretty good Utah State team next week. Minor or major problem for Boise State overlooking Utah State? Is it a trap game?
It's a trap. Nah,
it's a trap.
I'm not seeing it, though. I'm not seeing it just because... Yeah, you could just put on the film from the last time they were there, and it's like, yo, you turned the ball over, was it 7 times in that game?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
thanks for the reminder there, big guy.
In Logan, Utah, and I think they fumbled on the bus when they were leaving the arena. I don't think it's a trap game because I think it has their attention at this point. In fact, can a Mountain Division game at this point for Boise State be a trap game anymore? Just the way that Mountain Division is and how they've lost in it so many times and Air Force is left on their schedule, you can't consider that a trap game because they keep losing to Air Force.
Yeah, I don't think it's a trap situation, but I'll call it a major concern, not because it's a trap game, but I don't think this football team is good enough, consistent enough where it can just go anywhere right now and win. It has to bring its San Diego State effort every single game from here on out. So it's a tough road trip. They came off a huge win over UNLV tonight. The comparison losses to Wyoming and BYU are kind of what Boise State did too. So I guess if you're looking for some head-to-head, those kinds of games were fairly comparable. They lost to Wyoming at home, though, by 5. So that gives Boise State a little bit of an advantage. But they can't go down there thinking anything other than this is going to be a battle, it's going to be a mess, and we're going to be lucky to come out with a victory.
Major or minor is brought to you by U.S. Registration. Now, who wants to remind you not to let a minor issue become a major problem? U.S. Registration, a drug testing and compliance consortium that handles paperwork for owner-operators, new entrant safety audits, and safety assurance program. Even if you failed a drug test or a safety audit in the past, talk to those guys over at U.S. Registration. When we come back on Bronco Game Night, we'll get the injury report. We'll wrap things up as we start to look ahead to next week's game. Maybe it isn't a trap game, but it is at Utah State, and they're pretty good. We'll talk about that when we come back on Bronco Game Night.
Ankle on 93.1 The Ticket and 670 KVOI.
24-14, it's a win for Boise State tonight over Wyoming. And before we get out of here tonight, we got to hit the injury report, so let's go ahead and get that done.
It's time for the injury report on Bronco Game Night, brought to you by Idaho Foot and Ankle. They measure success one foot at a time.
We did see the stretcher come out. Thankfully, the cart did not come out for a Boise State player. Chris, we come in again pretty well without too many dings.
Yeah, that's the thing. And on defense especially, the last couple years, Boise State's had kind of bad losses at the end of the year. And one of the unsaid reasons for it is the end of those seasons, they were pretty beat up defensively. Right. And that cost them in those games. They need to make sure they keep those defensive players healthy now more than ever, because there's a lot more responsibility on their shoulders.
For sure.
I kept a close eye on the defensive line tonight. They're rotating in pretty good. They're rotating in an awful lot. I mean, Mo is not out there all the time, and plenty of other guys are coming in. So I think they got that problem solved. They're not that deep, so if an injury could be brutal down the road. The only injury we saw tonight, I didn't see any on the field. Chase Blakely did not start again, did not play, did not suit up again. So he's still out. That's at least the second game in a row. I know he didn't go to San Diego last week. So tight end Chase Blakely might be the only one that I know of.
Yeah, Mahone didn't play. Yeah. He didn't travel to the last one.
That's true.
So last note here before we get out of here, and we're going to get out of here in just another minute. We're at Utah State next week. It's scheduled to be an 8 p.m. kickoff on Saturday night. Utah State with a 52-28 beatdown on UNLV tonight. They've lost to Wyoming. They've lost to Colorado State. They lost badly to Wake Forest earlier in the year and Wisconsin. So they played some pretty good teams, but they haven't beaten anybody that's really terrific either. Your thoughts real quick before we get out on on Utah State.
Tough to gauge. They played Wyoming pretty tough. Saw their game there. Quarterback who can do at least a little bit. One of the better ones maybe in the Mountain Division. But
it's a winnable game.
Boise State should get this.
Yeah. Mike?
Utah State's quarterback threw for 316 yards and a couple of long touchdown passes. I think Boise State's defense can neutralize that. I would be disappointed if Boise State didn't go in there and take care of business.
Chris, Mike, appreciate, as always, you guys being here tonight. It's a good win for Boise State, 24-14. Travis, Todd, nice job. Appreciate you guys helping out tonight. We'll see you next week once again. 8 p.m. is the kickoff time. Pre-game coming your way starting at 3 o'clock on Saturday on games or stations that are covering. We appreciate you hanging out with us tonight on Bronco Game Night. See you next week.
Hello, this is Joe Corbett.